You're listening to The Broker's Terminal, a Mass Effect podcast. On this episode of The Broker's Terminal, Season 1, Episode 9, we speak with Katie Townsend to discuss her role as Suvi Anwar in Mass Effect Andromeda. Thank you for listening. This is The Broker's Terminal, a Mass Effect podcast. Hello! Good evening, or daytime, or middle of the day, whatever, or morning, whatever time it is that you're listening to this. Rachel here with my friend Lexi.
Hello.
Hello, Lexi. And we have a very special guest with us this evening, morning, or afternoon, whenever it is you're listening to this, our friend Katie Townsend. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here, guys.
Yeah, excellent. We like to hear that. We are going to talk some Mass Effect Andromeda, talk some Suvi Anwar, of course. But before we do that, we want to ask who you are, what you do, get to know you a little bit.
Oh, sure. Well, I am Katie Townsend, which is partly a fake name. My last name Townsend was like a college boyfriend's name that I never got rid of.
That's amazing.
So that kind of stuck around. But I'm an actor, voice actor. From Glasgow in Scotland, living in LA, and I'm most known for my work in video games.
Yeah, which video games would you say people most notably recognize you from?
Fallout 4, Mass Effect Andromeda, and most recently the Call of Duty games.
Yes.
Call of
Duty has Warzone.
mobile and stuff like that. And then before all that, I worked on a game called Ingress, which was the sort of, which predates Pokemon Go. It's Pokemon Go. That was his game. So that's kind of how it all started out for me. So that has its own little niche following as well.
That's really awesome. I know one of us who, I have played Warzone, but I know my friend Lexi here was doing some research earlier on your Warzone character.
I remember I got into, I don't know what spurred me on to get into another Call of Duty game, because I played some of them back in the day on console, but I never kept up with them. And Warzone's free to play, and I saw this operator and I was like, wow, she looks like Sigourney Weaver. And then I heard her voice and I was like, wait, I know that voice. And then of course you do your googling and IMDb comes up and I'm like, oh, that's Kate from Fallout. So now she's my favorite operator. When I haven't played that game in months. I actually just updated it today just to go back into it very briefly. It's a hard game on a lot of even decent PCs like mine, so it changed a lot.
It was funny. That was quite a sort of gruff character for me. That I laughed because I had a comment on, like, a random comment on YouTube or something. Someone said I sounded like a female Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I was gonna say, because like I said, I was just going through some stuff before the podcast just to refresh my memory, and I came across a clip of all the voice lines someone had put together. How did your throat feel after recording all the shouting commands that you had to do for that role?
it was a shock to the system, you know, because I'd never voiced, I'd done, you know, dabbled in little bits of sort of military style stuff, but it was heavy going. It was exhausting, you guys. I mean, I did the Modern Warfare stuff first, and then like months and months later did the mobile stuff. And I thought, it'd been a moment since I'd done some of the stuff with Charlie. So I thought, you know, I thought working on the mobile game would be a piece of cake. And it was my birthday when I worked, and I sure forgot I was in there for like 2 hours. And after about an hour, I thought, I'm gonna pass out. Like, I thought I was literally gonna, it was like more heavy going than any gym workout I'd ever done. I thought I'm gonna pass out from all of this yelling and all of this barking and stuff. But it was I think it took me like 2 or 3 days for my voice to recover after that. It was a lot. It was an experience.
I bet. Yeah, no, that's there were like between the commands and then, you know, yelling, assume, you know, over gunfire in the game and everything, I can only,
yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of voice actors don't actually like to do that kind of work, you know, don't like to do all of that kind of soldier stuff, military stuff, because of the impact that it has on your voice. And I think, I'm not going to say I would shy away from it in the future. I would always do it for something like Call of Duty. It's just too much of a massive, amazing game to turn down, you know. But
for sure,
you have to be careful, you know, because some of this stuff can damage your voice long term if you're not taking care of yourself. But it was an experience. I really loved it.
Yeah. Well, like I said, favorite operator to use. I bought the skin that definitely looks like Ellen Ripley even more. Yeah, and so I don't go to anybody else. I'm like, no, that's the one.
Oh, I love that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember, I think one of the first times I came across, or like I made the connection that voice actors are, I guess not all the time like you're saying, but sometimes are doing like their own sound effects, if you will, or like that type of work, was, I think there was like someone had posted a YouTube video of like all of the characters' sounds from Overwatch. And I was thinking to myself, like, these people make that noise? Like, how are they even doing it? So like, when Lexi had mentioned that she was going to mention that to you, I was like, yeah, that's just like, that's something that I don't think people who aren't doing voice acting think about, that's like also your talent.
Yeah, I mean, it's all those grunts and barks and things feel so unnatural, you know. I mean, it's sort of just, it's almost like primal stuff, right? Like, it's like animalistic noises. You're like, I didn't know I had this in me.
Yeah, I have to say, just, you know, from the 20 minutes we've been on call with you, there's one Charlie voice line, I think, where you tell someone to sit the F down. And I was like, that just, okay. Yeah,
totally some of those sounds different. Yeah, and also it felt very Glaswegian. It felt very within the character of a Glaswegian person. So it was kind of fun to represent
the
hard side of the culture.
So great. And it's so funny, like for me, you know, my first, that I can remember, like introduction to your work was through Suvi. So when I was hearing Lexi's character do that, when we would play Warzone together, I'd be like, Suvi, hello? What are you doing? Like, that's... not okay.
Like Suvi on steroids.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like Suvi's on one end of the spectrum and then Charlie's over here. Like,
right. Totally. Maybe Kate's somewhere in the middle.
Right.
So with Kate though, I did have a question just, you know, as we're talking generally here. So her accent's kind of like, it was meant to be Irish.
It was meant to be like, I think Celtic Irish. It was kind of vague. And they sort of wanted the directors and stuff wanted an Irish accent that was accessible for American people, if
yes,
that makes
you.
Sense.
It does.
So it was kind of like, it's maybe not exactly, you know, it's not exactly maybe how I would naturally do an Irish accent, but it was kind of fitted the game and the character. And it was fun. Like, Kate was definitely one of my favorite characters to play because she was such a comedian to me. I got a real kick out of those lines and how feisty and chaotic she was. I love that as well. I've been really lucky, honestly, with these characters, and it's been amazing to be part of so many incredible games. It's been pretty surreal, especially because I'm, you know, a small town. I mean, I was born in Glasgow, but I grew up in a tiny village outside of Glasgow, you know. And so growing up, all of this kind of thing, the entertainment industry, video games, movies, things, you know, this was all just another planet to me, you know, so it's kind of surreal to now be in LA doing this, you know, doing this for work. It's kind of a dream.
Did doing video games entice you to want to play video games, or are you purely an observer?
I wouldn't just call myself just an I'm far too curious just to be an observer.
Okay.
But my experience with video games growing up was like, you know, being a 90s kid, I had the my Sega Master System, my hand-me-down Sega Master System, and all those old games, the PlayStation. We couldn't afford like an N64, but friends of mine had it and I loved playing. And that was my knowledge of video games was limited to that. And then I became a teenager, didn't play any games, and did all these terrible things that teenagers do, and went off and lived my life. And so when I moved to LA, I didn't really have the intention of working in video games at all. And a friend of mine had randomly invited me to E3, the E3 convention. And it didn't really interest me. I thought, oh, video games, like, I just thought it didn't seem that exciting to me. And the second I stepped into that convention, my like head exploded. It was the most amazing, overstimulating and incredible thing I can't even describe it. It was like stepping into the future, another planet. I just was overwhelmed. And I was overwhelmed at how far games had come and how, you know, realistic they were, and how they, you know, and how lifelike, and how they were kind of merging almost with like the movie industry. I mean, it was just absolutely nuts. And that more than sparked my interest in pursuing video games, but also playing, you know. And I have a short attention span, so these massive open world games are a lot for me. Like, I've dabbled and I've cheated, and friends of mine dropped me into points of the game so I could like romance and play bits. And so I'm certainly intrigued by it and interested in it, and have certainly dabbled. You have to, you know, you mm-hmm. have to, because to know, you know, to be able to deliver and for these players and for this audience, you have to kind of know what it's like to be on the other side of it, you know. That's really important to me. And yeah, I think it's fun to, it's fun to play, it's fun to be in these games. But actually, what's most fun for me is actually connecting with the communities and the players, you know, the players behind the games themselves. Because before I moved to LA, I was working in, you know, I was touring with like children's theater and working in community theater and educational theater and stuff. So a lot of my kind of beginnings were community based. That's always been a very joyful space for me. So now, you know, moving into this video game industry and connecting with the audience on a personal level, you know, going to conventions, meeting people, immersing myself in these communities has been really joyful. That's kind of where this whole experience has really shone for me.
Yeah, I would say as a fan who loves that, that means a lot to hear you say that. Danielle Rain said a very similar thing when we spoke with her. And even, you know, people who we're not speaking with, but we're seeing panels, especially N7 Day was, you know, last weekend. And we hear, you know, the cast of those games talk about just how much they appreciate the community. How they go out and like look for fan art to like have people sign, or to sign like for fans. It's just amazing to me.
Yeah.
Like, and I really like that. So far, pretty much everyone involved with Mass Effect, whether it's the original trilogy or Andromeda, yeah, has been so very focused on just caring about the community. And I think that the community reflects that. It's mm-hmm. it's such a mostly a nice community. it's obvious, it's reciprocated, I think, in by each party.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you about the actors in those games too. I mean, like, I remember meeting Mark Meer at Dragon Con, and we did a panel or two together, and he's very immersed in the, as you know, in the you know, the Mass Effect community. And so,
oh, absolutely, yeah.
You know, he really nerds out in it, you know. He is it's amazing. And yeah, it's just a really beautiful thing, you know. It's the idea that these platforms and these giant games can bring people together in the way that they do is kind of miraculous.
Yeah, to see Mark, I think Mark Meer has done a number of Shepard cosplays where he's had the full armor made for him. Like,
he had he had like an Asari baby attached to him in this panel that we did, which was like, and he was trying to explain it. It was such a complicated concept that it went over all of our heads. And there was like a small portion of the fans in the audience that were really into it. And I was like,
yeah,
you know, it's exciting to, you know, he was doing it for them. Like, you mm-hmm. know, that's what the conventions, you know, for me, the conventions are really a celebration of fandom and the players of the game, rather than just the games themselves, right? Because that's really kind of what it's about.
Yeah, I'm an absolute nutcase about conventions.
Are you really?
I really am. My dream is to go to something like E3 or San Diego Comic-Con, which like has a wait list of like 50 years or something. But it's like ridiculous to like get into San Diego Comic-Con. But I live in the Tampa Bay area of Florida, and there's a Tampa Bay Comic-Con that happens every year, and other conventions out of Orlando. And my brother and I, who I mentioned briefly before we started recording, shout out to him. He's a huge Fallout fan and Mass Effect fan. He's a big fan. He told me
what's his name?
His name is Ted.
Ted, hi Ted.
Hey, that's great. Yeah, he's the Fallout guy in our family. He keeps bugging me to play it, but he also is, and I'm not just saying this. He's a big Andromeda advocate. He was like, Rach, can I be on your podcast to talk about Andromeda, please? I was like, yeah, sure. Whatever. but yeah, so he and I would go to Tampa Bay Comic Con pretty much annually. We've met some amazing people there. We met Carrie Fisher one year, which was
surreal.
It was one of the greatest moments. My brother was still in high school. He's a lot younger than me, and so he like walked up to her, and it had been like five like collectors who were just like getting a million things signed. So this like fresh face, like my brother's pretty cute, like kid, like walked up to her, and she was like, "Oh, hello." I was like, "Here we go." It was so cute. I was so happy for him. But conventions, like for the same reason mm-hmm. we discussed before, and we discussed it on our last episode where we were talking about N7 Day, it's just like you walk into this place where you don't know, maybe you don't know anybody except for who you're there with, but you feel so accepted immediately.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, it's similar to sports, I guess, like, and I'm a big sports fan, so, but there's few things like it. You know, where you walk in and you're just like immediately, you look at that person in that cosplay, you've never met them before, but you know who they are, and you're like immediately connected. It's just amazing.
Yeah, as someone who has cosplayed, I cosplayed Ashley from the original trilogy of Mass Effect as well. I did. I commissioned my friend. Commissioned a friend to make the armor, and I actually made the rifle myself. It's sitting on my window, so I don't think I can reach it, but anyway. Oh, here, we'll give it a try. We'll give it a college try.
I just got up. I had to turn a fan. Katie, I'm 5 months pregnant, so like I was getting really hot, and I needed to turn a fan on.
Are you really?
I am, yeah. So I was like dying. I was like, oh, God, yeah.
That's so exciting.
Yeah, I say it every podcast. I'm sorry to the listeners. I'm a little excited.
Just a little.
You're allowed to be a little excited about your future child. Is this your birthday?
Yeah. I'm just glad, like, you know, it's finally been 5 months, because I've known since about month one.
Anyway,
is that your first baby?
It is, yeah.
Oh my God, it's so exciting. I'm thrilled for you.
Yeah, thank you. It's we are not sharing the name. Danielle Rain was very funny. She was like, Vetra is a lovely name. And I was like, well, we're having a boy. And she was like, Ryder, good name. I was like, yeah, you're totally right.
I prefer Suvi. I think Suvi could be quite a unisex.
I agree. I think Suvi would be great. I will neither confirm nor deny that we're naming
the child. But
from babies to guns.
Right, yeah,
and now for something completely different. But as a cosplayer, like this was my first prop that I put together. It's all made of foam. It's very light. I got recognized immediately because my friend was Shepard. So the two of us walking together, people were like, "Oh my God! Like you guys look like you're right from that one animated trailer." Like it was great. It was as someone who's done, it's a very expensive hobby. But it's a very fun time to be able to go to conventions. And I live like 40 minutes out of Toronto. So there's one convention smaller that I go to that's Anime North. But one of these days, when things hopefully get back to normal, I would love to go to Fan Expo, because they actually get like all the famous people to come and do panels. Unfortunately, a few years ago, I missed out on getting to see Gillian Anderson, you know, my X-Files poster in the background there.
I can just see it.
yeah. But, you know, it's a great opportunity for fans. And, like, for me, you know, I haven't actually had the opportunity, just because in Canada, it's we don't tend to get that many guests up here. But, you know, going down to a con in the States, like New York Comic Con is one I want to go to eventually someday as well. You know, to get that opportunity just to meet, you know, I'm going to sound a little fangirlish here, but just to meet your heroes, you know, the people who bring your favorites to life. Like, you know, as I said, you know, to Danielle Rain last time that, you know, Vetra was my initial Andromeda romance. It was just so nice to be able to sit on the podcast. You know, I remember years ago for N7 Day, I tweeted something about Ryder and Vetra, and she retweeted or commented, and 5 years ago, I lost my mind because I was like, oh my God, I got recognition. And now, you know, 5 years later, here we are on a podcast talking to you guys. Like, it's just such an excellent, awesome opportunity, you know.
But it's amazing as well that you've created this podcast to enable not only yourself to connect with these heroes and you know, people that you admire from different aspects of video games, but also to bring your own community together, you know. It's like you've created your own community through this podcast, and that's really interesting to me.
Yeah, it was we love this story. Lexi and I have known each other for eight years,
like 2013.
I think that's math. About 8 years. We met like doing Mass Effect role play, like written role play, so we were taking on like the personas of characters from within the game, writing their characters and like interacting with each other in that way. Super nerdy, but it's all good. We love it. And here we kind of like, as life happens, we knew each other, and then like didn't really talk. And then at the beginning of the pandemic, we like rekindled our friendship. And then a year and a half later, here we are. And Legendary Edition came out, and we're, you know, we have grown since the last time I certainly had played it. And played Andromeda, and we would just like play other games and be talking about Mass Effect. And I was like, Lexi, first of all, I like to hear myself talk. Second of all, like, what if we just start recording what mm-hmm. we're talking about?
It was pretty much like our little love child, really, because we were like, let's do it, see what happens. And it's been great. Like, we're just having a good time, and it's like two friends sit down and talk about Mass Effect things, sometimes with great guests.
Yeah, the added benefit.
But aren't those the best podcasts, though, when it's just
absolutely.
And genuine and real with each other? You could just listen all day. You feel like you're part of the conversation. It feels like sitting down with pals over a cup of tea for me. Like, it's nice.
Yeah, and that's what we want, honestly. Like, you know, I'd like to say that we're out here, like, trying to impress people. I'm really not. I'm just here, like, to talk about something.
Yeah, I feel that you're not. You just feel really real. You feel like friends of mine, you know? Like, it feels like...
Sure, I appreciate that. That's really nice.
I love that.
I'm only freaking out a little. No, I'm just...
Just a little.
No, that's really nice. I appreciate that. And I feel the same. I was like, I could sit here and talk to Katie for, like, hours. This would be awesome.
It's the accent.
I'm American, easily swayed.
Well, when Ryder hits on Subi for the first time, and she's like, and the accent, and I'm like, oh, relatable.
So good.
Most relatable protagonist in this series.
Yeah. Well, so we don't not talk about Subi, because it sounds like the three of us could not talk about Subi for 6 hours and still be talking about something interesting. But what can you tell us about Subi? Who is Subi?
Subi is one of the most wonderful characters I've ever played. She's quirky, a little eccentric in her own way. She's very grounded and unique, which hopefully makes her, you know, intriguing and a bit memorable in this game. I was very, you know, I'm very drawn to her sort of infectious curiosity and her authenticity. She brings a genuine sort of warmth and a childlike wonder to the game that I think is refreshing. And she brings a lot to the table in Andromeda. She's the voice of reason. She's the science officer of the Nexus. A role that comes with great responsibility. She's an intellectual mind, and she also has this sort of endearing human touch that makes her quite unique and sets her apart from the other characters too. And she is a romance option for Sarah, which is very exciting and adorable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was one of the things. Lexi, you can cut me off if you want to ask this question.
You're fine.
That was one of the things I wrote down, which is, you know, in the original trilogy, you know, BioWare did a good job, especially for the time, and that's a whole other conversation Lexi and I have had on this podcast.
Sure,
but
I'm sure we could talk about that forever as well.
I'm sure we could. But for the sake of it, they do a pretty good job of inclusivity and
Yes, and, they do, for and sure.
Giving the option, maybe not as much as possible, but a decent amount. But Suvi, I think, if I'm correct, is like the only, like the lesbian option, I believe. She's only for mm-hmm. Sarah, and nobody else is only for Sarah, who is a woman, I believe.
Yeah, she, Suvi is a lesbian. And so it's nice. It's nice that she's, you know, and it's great, you know, a lot of these characters like Kate in Fallout she was bisexual by default, mm-hmm. right? Because everyone gets to see her.
Yeah, there's no gender isn't really a question in the apocalypse, apparently.
Yeah, well, I mean, exactly. But Suvi is a lesbian, and you know, her queerness was not a stretch for me because I am bisexual, and so although Suvi definitely has more game than I do, she's got this sort of coyly, she's got this sort of like coy seduction and you know, the quality to her that's quite disarming. But it's nice that she's just for Sarah. It's nice.
Yeah, I'll say that as a lesbian gamer.
Yep. I was like, Lexi, take it away. I'm just like a lowly, like whatever I am, choose to be. But I was like, Lexi, this is you. Go.
You know, for me, like I said, I got into Mass Effect in 2012, just in September. So just after Mass Effect 3 had come out, about 6 months after, or whatever time. And, you know, for me, I was much younger then. I was 18, away at college for the first time. And you know, I would come home, binge Mass Effect, go back to school after getting all my laundry done at home. And, you know, played these games, and I romanced Liara in my first go. But I've since come back and pretty much romanced every female character because, well, here's the problem with BioWare games. They make a very specific type of female character that I fall in love with, and then she turns out to be straight, and yeah. I'm like, wow, this is my life story every time. But it's really nice, you know, and you get into Mass Effect 3 with Samantha Trainor, voiced by the lovely Alex Wilton Regan, you know, and her story is one that her romance is one that I adore too, because in similar sort of shape and form, you know, they're not like Suvi and Sam are both romanceable, but they're not the companions that go with you into the fight. Like they're on right. the ship. They have very important roles, you know, with their work, but they're kind of on the, I don't want to say on the side, but they don't get to fight with you. But, you know, they're there for you when you get back to your ship as Shepherd or Rider. And it's kind of nice just to have that. So it's like having these characters that are representative. And, you know, I'll speak to Alex too. She talked about it last year on the N7 panel, but she was raised by two moms. So, you know, right. Sam's story was really important for her to have that representation of a normal, regular human romance love story. And, you know, that always struck with me as well. And so for Suvi, and I did just watch the romance before we did the podcast because I've only played Andromeda once. But, you know, just to kind of have that back and forth with Ryder, and it felt natural. And again, Ryder yeah. being awkward was like, oh my God, me, relatable.
Right.
You know, it was just really nice. It's such a nice thing to have in games where, you know, and like with any media where heterosexuality is considered default, it's just nice to have that representation and, you know, and to have that available and to have something so well written, well acted.
Yeah.
And, you know, to be in the game where you're immersed in such beautiful worlds and fictional universes that it's really monumental, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. You know, it was amazing to represent the community through this character. I'm really proud of that. I'm not saying that the character is perfect. I'm not saying that the romance is perfect, but we've made a lot of progress. And I think they did well. I think they did well with this relationship. It had a lot of depth, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah was kind of as they bonded, you know, she became like a sort of a security blanket for Suvi. And you got the impression they were just holding on to each other in kind of strange journey and, you know, and a strange and quite isolating journey. And, but it is encouraging to see more and more space for LGBTQ+ and queer roles in games. And, but also in, you know, television and animation too. But what's really exciting for me, as a voice actor is, and it's certainly been, you know, I've noticed it more over this past year and a half,
when it comes to sort of my voice additions, but particularly for animation, there's been more and more requests in breakdowns for LGBTQ voice actors to audition for LGBTQ roles. There's been, you know, a sort of surge in genderqueer, non-binary, trans roles, queer roles, targeted at actors who, you know, inclusivity in actors who can fill these roles. And that feels like amazing progress for me. Like, we're going to see over the next year or two more and more of this, to the point where hopefully it becomes normalized. You know, we have to normalize intimacy with LGBTQ plus characters in the same way that that we do with straight and cisgender characters. It has to happen, and it is happening, and I think that's really, really exciting. And it was really nice to be a small part of that in this game, and to represent in this game.
Yeah, I'm afraid to talk now, because how do you follow that up?
I'm like getting a little emotional.
Yeah,
goodness.
Lexi and I are like, it just didn't see each other on Zoom, like just shaking our head, like giving ourselves brain damage, like disagreeing. It was beautifully said. I think, I don't know like how much animation you watch, but a show certainly that stands out for me that does that really well is the new She-Ra and the Princesses of Power, which is on Netflix. Yeah. If you haven't watched it,
I haven't. I've heard.
It's for kids, but like I loved it. I texted my friend, my best friend who lives in Portland. I was like, She-Ra's new. She was like, let's go. We were like watching it together. but so cool. Yeah, it was great. I was like, I'm 30 and I love this show. It just speaks to what you were saying. Like, there's all different like types of looking characters, and nobody is like fitting stereotype, and people are just like living, and like the character has two dads, and it's like not a big deal. And like,
right.
So I thought that I did romance Suvi. I just want to make sure I can get a point here. I did romance Suvi, although Lexi and the rest of the listeners know she was not my first romance. I got swept off my feet by one Reyes Vidal, which, I mean, which is funny because I usually don't romance men in video games. I'm like, I'm married to a man. I don't need to romance men anymore. but then I was like, okay, I'm going back and romancing Suvi. She's actually like who I want to be romancing. So, and I just felt like she really like, you know, she felt like Liara Tithoni to me a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like they have very similar, like just things about them. And Liara is like my home girl. I won't say too much about Liara because I do every episode. I just like this is a little bit of a cliche because Suvi says it, but like Suvi legitimately felt like home to me. I was like, this is the kind of character that I really connect with and really enjoy. And I just love Suvi. I think she's great. One of the notes that I have written down is the conversations that you can have with her, whether you're romancing her or not, sure, about the dichotomy between religion and science, which was also really, really cool here.
Isn't that so unique?
It is.
I love that she's this sort of like, that she's proudly academic and this scientific genius, but she's also deeply religious, and that it's her, the patterns that she's experienced in her scientific studies that's actually affirmed her belief in a higher power. And I love that she believes in a god because of science, not in spite of it. Like, it's really interesting.
It's a really refreshing take, you know, about that kind of what cannot be a conflicting belief. And, you know, I'll say this is one of my types of BioWare romances was Ashley Williams in the first trilogy, who seems to be the only other character, main character anyway, that brings up religion, you know, and she talks about, you know, how her father's with God and stuff like that. But she never really specifies too much, but enough to be like that, you know, and she has a similar line too about space and saying that, like, how can you look at all of this and not believe in something greater? And I think kind of having that, those characters and having those beliefs, even though they're not like a super, you know, they're not constantly brought up, but they are there. And it's really nice to ponder that, and brings up such a character depth. And I do think that's interesting. I do like that Suvi's is more about the science bit, whereas Ashley's was just more about her belief, but that was kind of it. But like, it is nice to see, especially in a setting like Mass Effect with space, like it's
actual space.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, it's nice to see those qualities kind of coexist peacefully within a person. You don't see that very often. Because I think it's a challenge. It's a challenge to do it justice, right? Like, it's, these are sort of a, it's like different, you know, with the lesbian thing as well, it's like these are different sort of conflicts. How do you get them to sort of marry together in a very authentic way? Which I think was done really well with Suvi, and it was Cheryl Chi, I think is the writer's name, who also wrote Vetra, I believe.
She did.
Well, no wonder we like both of those characters.
Listen, Cheryl Chi has also done, I can't remember who she wrote in Dragon Age as well.
Oh yeah, that's right. Okay, I remember you had mentioned her before.
But she, hold on, I'm
Lexi's gonna Google.
I'm Googling right now very, very quickly, because I know she's written some characters in Dragon Age as well that I also adore.
If it's Josephine, I'm not gonna be surprised. I don't know if it's Josephine. Here's wishful thinking. While she is looking that up, you can interrupt me. One of the things,
Isabella.
Okay,
she wrote Isabella and Blackwall. So Isabella, my favorite Dragon Age 2 romance. So there you go. See, she just keeps writing my type. It's
that's all a good character. Yeah, one of the things I was gonna say, and you kind of reminded me of it when you said like just normalizing intimacy and like not normalizing one type of intimacy over the other. Something that is hard to explain from my perspective, but one thing that I really liked from Suvi, and they did a good job of like not specifically identifying what religion she follows, but just that she's religious. But I grew up Jewish, and so the way that she spoke about her religion, I like my brother and I immediately were like, "Is this lady a Jew? Like, what is happening here?" Right. Like it was like a very like Jewish way of talking about religion. And so in my mind, Suvi is just like a nice Jewish girl. And for those of you who don't think that, that's totally fine. But I'm living in this happy fantasy where my writer's with this nice Jewish woman.
She's like a good little Jewish woman.
Yeah, it's like so great. And the joke that most people don't know is like within the Jewish community, like we have like these random like redheaded cousins. So it like totally works. She's just like totally fits in there. But she does, like, the way that she speaks about her religion and her spirituality is just, like, very Jewish, and I won't go into it, because then that turns into a different type of podcast, but that was just something that always really connected with me, whether it was intended or not. So, you have made one Jewish boy and gal very happy by presenting
Suvi. I love that so much, though, because I've heard the same from Christian and Muslim gamers who've said something similar, that they connected with her and they really felt that her views and beliefs and like you're describing, it's the nuances, the way of the way that which she describes certain things, the patterns of which she describes certain things, that seem to resonate with people on a personal level, which is a credit to the writer.
Yeah.
I think that's a difficult thing to, those nuances can be very difficult to capture in a believable way, you know. Especially in video games, you know, where some, you know, often you get characters who are, you know, more sort of rooted in stereotype than sort of reality.
And especially like in a way with video games and how they progress and like BioWare games where, you know, dialogue trees go certain ways you know, how they progress within a character's relationship. You know, if people don't ever talk to these squad mates, they'll never know. Like, that's one big issue I have with people who leave Ashley to die on Vermeier or just never give her a chance. I'm a little bitter. People never give her a chance because she has this excellent growth where she's a little bit xenophobic at the start. She doesn't trust her alien squad mates and you know, because of her background. And then by 3, she's like best friends with Liara, considers Tali like a little sister, but people never give her a chance. So it's like, how do you, you know, with people who, you know, they got to consider like how people are going to interpret them and how they go on to play these games and if they talk to people. But like, I think it's such a challenge. I couldn't, like, I've written stuff obviously, but it would be such a challenge to do those trees and you know, progressing the dialogue. So it is a very fantastic gaming method that you get so immersed in, but they write it so well despite that challenge.
Yeah, I agree. I really agree with you. It's nice to hear that these characters, and you know, not just Suvi, but you know, the characters in the game in general have resonated with you, with both of you, and I've heard that from others too. It makes it very special, you know, because you know, for all some of these games, I'll say, get a little criticism every now and then, but
a little,
But you know, it's nice though, because all it takes is for one person to say that they resonated with your character, and that interacting with your character in a game allowed them to escape some moment of their life, or allowed them to learn something new about themselves, or gave them a friendship in a moment, or a bit of human connectivity in a moment. It's really special. It makes it all worthwhile. It's a really, I can't quite describe the feeling, but it makes you, suddenly it's not just voice acting as a sort of technical craft, which it kind of is, you know. Suddenly it kind of is more about the storytelling and the art of what this is, and the roots of why I wanted to be an actor in the first place. And it really means a lot to me. It's really special.
Yeah. The avid listeners and Lexi certainly know what I'm about to say, but you know, very briefly, you know, my connection to Mass Effect came, my husband at the time, my boyfriend and I were living separately. I was in grad school in another city, and I had just started playing the original trilogy in 2013, thanks to my brother. He's the man. And the cast and crew, if you will, of the Normandy became my friends, and that's my connection, yeah, to Liara is so deep, just because she was so similar to me. And again, that's like, I'm not just saying this because you're sitting here, but like Suvi is so similar to Liara that I also felt like so connected to her. And you saying like, I don't know how to describe it, I know how to describe it, and it's pretty much exactly what you said. Like, and I know for me, and there's, I would venture to say millions of people have played Mass Effect, like, I think there are so many people who are so passionate, whether it's good or bad, about this game because of that connection, and because, right, of just like what you and the other cast members just bring to our lives. Truly, it's unmatched. I truly feel like Liara, certainly, I promise I won't talk about that character more, but like that character for me, like, truly became one of my best friends during that period. I had nobody else except for her. And people in that game, and it is unlike anything. You can't put words or a price on it. It's very special. Also, I have not talked about this since like being 5 months pregnant, so I'm like really holding the tears back. My hormones are like, Rachel, it's okay to cry. No, wait till I'm not recording. But yeah, so truly, I absolutely understand what you're saying there.
Yeah, it's, you know, and we've talked about this in past episodes, especially with our bonus episode just for N7 Day last weekend. But, you know, the fact that these games, you know, with the writers, the voice actors, the animators, everybody involved, has created something so strongly impactful for all the players, all the people who have taken part, and created this community that's been continually celebrating. Like, what other video game series do you know of celebrates every year like it's a holiday?
Oh no, totally. Amazing. Like, it's amazing.
It's amazing that, you know, after all these years and still, and you know, with the promise of a new game coming, but you know, and Andromeda coming in, what was it, 2015? You know, for 6 years, like, we've still been celebrating Mass Effect. And, you know, again, the Legendary Edition certainly brought everybody out of the woodwork and brought new people into it for the first time. I had a few of those on Twitter. I was watching their live tweet reactions, and I was like, oh, you're in for a shock.
Don't even know. Like, yeah.
You don't even know how emotionally compromised you're going to be after this, and I'm not saying a damn word.
I knew what was coming, and I was emotionally compromised. It was bad. It was really,
yeah, fun. Yeah, you were in my DMs, like, venting about it for like, no, venting about it for a week. And then I finally finished my Legendary playthrough run just a couple weeks ago. And I was just like, wow, I'm crying like I did the first time I played this game again. because it's just something you've invest so many hours into, especially, as you said, that like the open world games. But they create this community, this sense of belonging, the merch. I mean, I'm wearing my N7 hoodie now.
I love it.
It's cold though. It's like snowing here, right? Ugh, Canada. but
that's a sound clip. I'm gonna rip it and use it.
Good, do it. Yeah. But you know, it's just creates this sense of community, and that's part of our pod. Like, really, one of the main tenets of this podcast, other than it being our love child, is just being able to reach out to fans and talk to guests and just be able to talk about the same thing, or like the thing that we all love, and it's amazing.
Yeah,
it's profound. I mean, it took me like three quarters of the day on N7Day to realize that it was N7Day. But I posted a, I don't know if you're in that Mass Effect, the Mass Effect Facebook group. I post in there and connect with those guys.
Oh,
and I post
that's great.
Yeah, I post in there every now and then, and I kind of stalk people on there. Like, I really enjoy
it. Well, now I'm really definitely nice? Going to join it. So yeah, you can stalk me.
You know what's really nice, though? Because people post, like, you know, people post, like, pictures from their wedding day or the birth of their child or you know, their mother's passed away or this has happened or just small celebrations or trivialities in their life. And everyone just comes together and sort of like snuggles close and celebrates or commiserates with that person and provides just all this support. And it really moves me, you know. I find myself, I'm not on Facebook very often, but when I do, I always go onto the page, and it's just nice to get those little snapshots of a stranger's life. There's something really wonderful about sharing that, which is, you know, one of the joys of social media. Mm. But it's really nice. So I posted a video in there for N7Day, and you know, I said in the video, when I always say it, you know, when I'm sort of speaking directly to fans of the game, like the communities from these games and from the, you know, the Mass Effect games have introduced me to some of the most amazing people I've ever met in my life. Some of the funniest, most intelligent, kind and generous people I've ever met. And it's absolutely astounding and profound. And, you know, unless you're a gamer or work in the video game industry, it's hard to describe to people what that's like, what that community means. It's just, there's really nothing like it. And so I do feel privileged to be doing what I'm doing, but also to be included in these communities. I've really been welcomed into these communities and like the Facebook group and stuff in a way that I can't really describe. And it's really nice. So it's a kind of mutual thing, right? Like, I'm getting a lot out of that as well. You know, it's sort of, it's nice to have that. It makes it so much more worthwhile.
Yeah. Then, I love when we have guests on, cause you guys usually segue without knowing you're segueing. So well done. one of the final, you know, questions we wanted to ask, or really discussions we wanted to have is similar to that, which is, you know, with Andromeda, being, say the right word. I'm not going to use it because I'm going to say the wrong word, pregnancy brain. coming after the original trilogy, what was it like, you know, coming into the Mass Effect family in this like established, very established series that existed already?
It was kind of, I know it sounds silly, but it was kind of like this, my same experience with Fallout. I was vaguely aware it was a massive thing. But I didn't go too deep down the rabbit hole, because I think the expectation of that, for me, I feel the pressure of those kinds of expectations, and I didn't want to feel that. I wanted to kind of just treat it like a clean slate. It's a new thing, but you know, if you know you're stepping into a sequel, you know fine well that you're in risky territory, you know. Sure. And so, but for me, it really wasn't about that. You know, my job in this game was to play this character as truthfully and authentically as possible, and to through that character build a relationship with this audience, which is a new audience for me, right? Because I'd never worked in a Mass Effect game. So that was really the focus for me, was playing my role in the story as a whole. And everything else, you know, game coming out, whatever else happens, is kind of out with your control, out with my control. And I'm just fine with that, you know, that the rest of it kind of feels like it's not my business, if that makes sense. It's sure. Sort of just, I played my part. I loved it. And you know, but you know, it was, it's tough. It's a challenge, you know. The stakes were high and are high, and they should stay high, you know, for good reason. This is a cherished game, a treasured game, and it's very, very important to the Mass Effect community. And so, but it was nice, you know, it was nice to be a tiny part of that bigger legacy, this massive universe.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love it. What a role it was. I think there are a lot of Suvi fans that exist, whether you know or not. I mentioned before we started recording, our friend Scout, they're They have been they run this like Shepard and Liara server on Discord. I don't know if you know what Discord is, but
I do know. This is all very new to me.
Yeah, so yeah, Discord is basically like a chat room,
like server. It's like Skype, thing. Right. Skype, yeah. But you can have servers and stuff.
Sure, yeah. But they have just for like I don't know a week. They've been like, all I have on my brain is Suvi. Like I can't. They were like, I can't not talk about Suvi right now. And they've just been like playing Andromeda for like a week. So I let them in on the secret that we were going to be speaking, and they were like, oh my gosh, that's so amazing, you know. So it was great.
Hey, what are their names so I can?
Their name is Scout.
Scout. Hello, Scout. Wish you were here and on the chat.
That's amazing. Yeah, they're from the UK. I don't remember. I think they may be from London. So, they're on that. They're in your territory over there.
Different time zone.
Yeah. Well, they're asleep right now, but
that's asleep.
When they're listening now, they won't be asleep. I'm confusing myself. But thank you for doing that. They're gonna lose their mind. Congratulations. You've led somebody to lose their mind. Alexia, I cut you off. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, and you know, as we were talking with community and stuff, what's your reaction to Andromeda's sort of growth and acceptance since its launch? Because we all know it got a lot of flack that really wasn't deserved, but gamers are a certain breed sometimes in how they behave and don't give the game devs a little bit of benefit of the doubt. So what's been your reaction to from the beginning of Andromeda's release to seeing fans like us fully give our adoration and love for the game since then?
It's been kind of a slow, you're right, it's been a slow burn with Andromeda. I'm getting people reaching out to me now, like, oh, I just played Andromeda, you know, had a bad reputation. I played it, it was great. And I actually posted months ago in the Facebook group for like a joke. Or what I thought was a joke. There was this article, it was an opinion piece, and it basically said, you know, why Andromeda is the best Mass Effect game, and I thought it would be funny to post it. Anyway, the thing like exploded in there, and I realized it wasn't as funny as I thought it would be. But look, I have a pretty good sense of humor about it all. Mm-hmm. Like I said, you know, for me, I think this is a good game. I think there's a lot of fantastic elements to this game.
It is a good game.
I think the gameplay, I think the fight stuff in the gameplay is great, and I think there's wonderful characters. And so I feel proud to be part of it. But I suppose it's like everything else. Like when you're part of a project and it comes out, you want it to do as well as possible. You know, when it doesn't, you're always going to be a little bit disappointed. But you can't really stay disappointed for too long, because, you know, this game still has its place in the Mass Effect universe. It's still moved people and affected people in a way and brought people together, and that's kind of just what it's about at the end of the day. So for me, that was always the main thing, and that's what I'm most proud of.
Yeah, well, as we've said about six times, you and the rest of the Andromeda cast nailed it. And I was like emphatically like waving my body around, but like the combat is the best combat in all of the games. And the thing is, and I'm going to say this for our listeners, this may or may not mean anything to you, and I say that respectfully, it's Dragon Age Inquisition in space. Okay, guys, it is not the same as the original trilogy. It is a different game, and that's okay. Yeah. It's going to be fine. We're going
to
make it.
And also, you know, I spoke to this a little bit earlier, but I love Shepard. Shepard, I love my Shepard specifically a lot. Shepard is a hero. I love them. But they're at like 32. Like, I'm 27. They're 32 years old. They've done 10 times as much shit as I've done in my life that I feel a little like I got to compensate. But Ryder. Yeah. Ryder is a big relatable idiot. Great. Protagonist that yeah. says the dumb shit that would come out of my mouth if I was in that situation. And for that alone, I think makes it a sort of fresh, young sort of take on this thing, because they get shoved, like they get forced into this position of Pathfinder when they weren't expected to. And it's like, oh, wow, you mean like shouldering the responsibility of adult life that no one bothered to tell you about until you actually hit that like 25 plus range, and you're like, wow, being an adult sucks.
I just realized that Andromeda is a therapy simulator. Amazing. No wonder I like it so much.
That is so hilarious. Oh yeah, I mean, certainly, you know, that it gives them space to grow. You know, that was the whole idea, is like, you know, you have to start off
they're a puppy dog, you know. They're in
yeah, like Shepard, you know, you, even in the first game when they seem kind of baby-faced and fresh, like they're still established. They've had, you know,
they're a commander,
they're an N7 graduate, which is like the most elite thing you can be in the Mass Effect world, and like they're established by age 28, and you're like, well,
hello,
shit.
What have I been doing?
So to have Ryder being this like fresh person that was never intended to be the protagonist, right, stepping into that role, like it really, I would say it gives me the same vibes as Dragon Age 2, again, with Hawk as the protagonist, where they were just escaping a shitty situation and then all of a sudden got to a city that had a lot more problems and they kept getting involved in them. It's like this sort of idea of a young person coming into it and then having a found family with their friends is the most relatable experience, I think, for most of us here. I agree with you.
And I thought Frida and Tom did a really good job voicing those roles. Have you chatted with them? You should reach out to them.
Yeah, they're so cool. I did. I emailed Tom. I actually, I'm a writer for a gaming website, and we used to do a podcast. And before I joined their podcast, they actually had a very nice relationship with Tom. So I did reach out to him, and he said at this time he's not doing interviews. And full disclosure, I don't know how to get in touch with Frida. She doesn't have a website with an email address or anything.
She's a mysterious entity.
Yeah, and Lexi and I play Apex Legends, so what would happen is similar to what happened with you, is we would like come to talk to her about female writer
about
and then talk to her about and then talk to her about Loba for like 6 hours. We know our flaws.
I've held my feelings back about Kate for after the fact.
I'm very proud of you. That's so funny. But in terms of the podcast, Katie, thank you so much for joining us. It truly has been just amazing to speak to you about Mass Effect and you and Suvi, certainly, who, as I've said 16,000 times, is very near and dear to me. So thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you very much. You know, just getting to chat with someone whose voice work I very much admire across all these games. And it's, you know, as soon as we kind of knew that we were going to have this conversation, I've been excited ever since. So
there's been a lot of caps locks in our DMs back and forth to each other.
Oh, yes. All excited yelling.
This has been really wonderful. It's been, I don't do a lot of these because I wouldn't say I'm an introvert, but kind of. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like it's sort of like it's still a little out with my comfort zone, although I have to get better at it. You've made this so easy. You're so lovely to chat to you. It's
thank
like
you.
Chatting to a couple of friends. It's really nice. It's a really nice way to spend a Friday evening. So thank you so much for having me on. Thanks for inviting me on here to chat with you, to meet your community. You know, I hope everyone enjoys it. And
they will.
please keep in touch with me. I'd love to keep in touch with you guys and you know, keep in touch with what you've been up to and stuff.
Absolutely.
For sure.
They're both really cool. So it's really nice to meet you and hang out.
That's the first time I think I've ever been called cool. So thank you.
You're cool to me. I mean, I don't know if I'm cool. So don't take it with a pinch.
It's great. No, it's all in the eye of the beholder. Awesome. All right.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much, guys. Chat soon.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.